Grace, mercy, and the peace of God be multiplied unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God I would lay on your hearts this evening comes from the second chapter of the book of Joel, verses 12 to 14, as follows. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent, and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. So far the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, how fitting and proper it is for us to look into the Old Testament to get some words of encouragement from those who prophesied, those prophets of old, as Peter called them in his epistle. The prophets of old who always pointed to Christ. I always like to say that to our confirmation kids. You know, the Old Testament, it points to Jesus. It points to him. For good reason. Because we need the good news of Christ in our lives every day. The prophets of old, like Joel. Joel prophesied probably about 850 years before Christ. And it was probably, it was in Judah, probably Jerusalem itself, where he made this prophecy. You know, and a prophet is nothing more than a mouthpiece for God. Just like today, where God works through his word, and we read his word and we get to know what God wants us to know about him. So of old, the Lord didn't speak directly to his people. He spoke mediately. He spoke through men like Joel and other prophets. So they spoke what God told them to speak. And here Joel brings a message to the children of Israel, a disobedient children. You know, we hear that so often about how many times the children of Israel disobeyed the Lord and turned away from him, and the Lord had to turn them back. Usually it was with, a mouthpiece, a prophet, who warned them and said, unless you return to me, this or that will happen. You know, when we have our fall harvest and we celebrate all the blessings that God has given to us, we usually think of our pantries and freezers being full, the paycheck that comes in, all those earthly blessings. The wood pile stacked up, ready to go. If you didn't have wheat, if you didn't have a crop in the time that Joel prophesied, you were in trouble. If, for instance, a calamity, and what we would call a natural calamity, occurred, like a flood, or in the case of this book of the Bible, huge swarm of locusts would descend. And that's what the Lord was using, this army of locusts, to as a calamity for the wayward children of Israel, to get them to repent, to remind them that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. He does that by taking away their food, by having this swarm of locusts come in and completely devour. It's terrifying when you read it. It's the 11 verses before. I'm just going to try to read it to you here. Joel 2, 1 to 11. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. Now as we read through this, you can't help but see that it's an illustration, isn't it, of Judgment Day. And the armies of Jehovah, or the armies that Jehovah describes here, are, well, for the children of Israel, it was grasshoppers, it was locusts that were going to eat and destroy everything and leave them without anything. But what it's symbolic of is the law of God, how no one will be able to escape the law on Judgment Day. Anyone who tries to live by the law, there won't be anything for them to gain any sustenance for their spiritual well-being. It won't happen. Listen again as we keep those two thoughts in mind. The day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. A day of darkness and gloom. a day of clouds and blackness. Like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was of old, nor ever will be in ages to come. Before them, fire devours. Behind them, a flame blazes. Before them, the land is like the Garden of Eden. Behind them, a desert waste. Nothing escapes them. They have the appearance of horses. They gallop along like cavalry. With a noise like that of chariots, they leap over the mountaintops, like a crackling fire consuming stubble, like a mighty army drawn up for battle. At the sight of them, nations are in anguish. Every face turns pale. They charge like warriors. They scale walls like soldiers. They all march in line, not swerving from their course. They do not jostle each other. Each marches straight ahead. They plunge through defenses without breaking ranks. They rush upon the city. They run along the wall. They climb into the houses like thieves. They enter through the windows. Before them, the earth shakes. The sky trembles. The sun and moon are darkened, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number, and mighty are those who obey his command. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? A calamity to remind the people that sin is terrible, that their offenses against God are awful. Advent is a time where we too remind ourselves of those truths, that every time I sin, I offend against my God, and it's terrible. And that's why the Lord gives us the gift of repentance. That's why the Lord sent his prophet Joel to the children of Israel. That's why we get to hear these words again tonight, to be reminded that repentance is a gift. It's a gift. Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Yes, the law terrifies. It always accuses us. It never excuses us. It can't be stopped by any mortal man. It can't be quenched, it can't be fought, this army that marches against those who want to be justified through the law. But we know we have the battle won already in our Savior, don't we? The Lord gives us that invitation, turn to me. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. The ability to turn towards God, where do we get that? Isn't that a gift? Absolutely. That 180-degree turnaround, that's the change of spirit, the change of heart that the Holy Spirit has worked in us and given us as a gift, so that we can read these words, repent of our sins, and look to God for forgiveness. All our heart, the Lord asks for, not just what's convenient or left over from the rest of our lives, all of it. And God here gives us the remedy for sin. It's his Son, Jesus Christ. He's the one who'll make that dark and dreadful day for us a day where we can look up and lift up our heads because our redemption draws nigh. It'll be dark and terrible for unbelievers, but not for us. Joel prophesied later on in this chapter, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. That's the promise from our great God, that he will not forsake us. In those days that we are in today, the Lord gives us the power of his word to help us through our daily lives. The Holy Spirit has been poured out in our hearts and continues to be given as a blessing to each one of us. Every time we meditate on the word, every time we hear that gospel message declared to us again of what our Savior has done for us on the cross. It's true repentance, which is also a gift. Repentance involves two things. It involves turning away from sin, but then turning towards God. We turn away from sin because we know that sin separates us from God. But we turn towards God for the forgiveness of sins because he has declared us to be not guilty through his Son, Jesus Christ. Return, our text says, to the Lord your God. Now remember, this is God speaking through Joel. And God, the Lord, calls himself your God. This God who used the Word to create things that weren't in existence, to bring them into existence, that same powerful Word worked the miracle in your heart of faith to believe in Him. The faith that believes that He is your God. So He calls you with His own power and draws you to Him through the Word. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness. I was listening to a devotion this morning off the internet from Emmanuel back in Eau Claire. Professor Pfeiffer was talking about an Advent text, and it was about forgiveness, and it was about forgiving your brother. I think it was that passage that had to do with, you know, how many times do we forgive our brothers? Up to 7 times. And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. Unlimited, in other words. And he said, repentance in a Christian's life, what it does is it causes us to look at what God has done for us. I mean, if I think of my, you know, a particular person who annoys me or who's made himself my enemy, what has he done to make me angry with him? Well, there's that one thing that he did. Of course, I remember that. One thing? Well, maybe there's he also did this. Okay, two things? And does that keep me from holding a grudge in my heart against this person? What if there were 5 things? And then you think of how often you yourself offend against God every day, and yet our text says He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger. Our powerful God is so forgiving that it hit that level of forgiveness is alien to us. We thrive on His forgiveness. It's the gospel message that moves us to be forgiving. But the kind of forgiveness that God has towards us, the long suffering of putting up with us, even after we have been brought to faith, we continue to fail Him in sin every day, and yet He forgives us. Great kindness. We are reminded in this season of preparations for our hearts for Advent that He is kind and gracious because He is who He is, not because He's waiting for us to repent. Repentance isn't a condition for us to receive His kindness. We get it anyway. And that's what moves us then to employ that gift of repentance, to help us to prepare our hearts, to do what John the Baptist said, you know, to bring down our pride and to make the mountains level, but then to bring up the valleys of our own doubt and worries and wonder of whether or not God actually does forgive us, to make that plain level for the coming of Jesus into our hearts. The text winds up with saying, who knows if He will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind Him? Did God leave a blessing behind Him? Absolutely. His blessing was His own Son, Jesus Christ. That's who He left behind Him for us, to be a blessing for us. He relents from doing harm to us. Why? Because He did not relent in harming His own Son and pouring on Him His anger and wrath for our sins. Now we get to wear the white robe of Christ's righteousness. Now we get to take that blessing which the Lord would have us take. We get to repent. We get to do these things and prepare our hearts and have our hearts and minds set and ready for Christmas like no one else. Prophets of old proclaiming the Savior to come. Today Joel has reminded us that the Savior will comfort repentant hearts. God has left a blessing behind Him. It's the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's the forgiveness of sins found in Him. Let us therefore continue to preach repentance, continue to practice repentance, turning away from sin, but always turning toward our merciful, loving God. Amen.